This is Market Insights, the Market Pulse podcast by Oanda.
I'm Johnny Hart. This is the Market Insights Market Pulse podcast. Let's join Trader Nick in the United States. How you doing, Nick?
Hey, Johnny. I'm good. Good to be back with you.
Plenty to talk about today. We've got the likely end to the longest ever U.S. government shutdown, which hopefully is going to happen and will be good news for everyone all around, particularly those people waiting on their pay packets for the last couple of months. And we've also seen a fall in oil prices today. So let's first talk about the government shutdown. And well, it's been a long time coming, Nick, but we're almost there, right?
It seems like it. It seems like we are closer than we definitely have been in the last few weeks. The House is expected to vote today on ending the record, as you pointed out, record long government shutdown. And this is definitely welcomed by kind of everyone, it seems like, at least the majority of people, especially people who have been impacted negatively in the sense that, flight cancellations, people who are waiting on paychecks. A lot of the economy also does rely on having economic data coming out, not just for our purposes of talking about it and speculating about it, but also people who actually use that information to function within the economy. So it is definitely a welcomed update in regards to having that data start to come back in, what that means for traders and investors, we'll talk a little bit about, and what that also means for the Federal Reserve, right? Because we've kind of hinted at this already, but this long-awaited data is really critical to the state of the Fed, right? We know that the Federal Reserve is weighing the pros and cons of cutting interest rates. We also know from Jerome Powell in his last FOMC press conference, he pointed out that the Federal Reserve Committee is pretty highly divided on a lot of stuff, right? We know he actually specifically mentioned out that there's biases within the committee. There's committee members that are more focused on inflation. There are committee members that are more focused on unemployment data. And so if we are looking at this data or sort of looking at these two aspects of the dual mandate, and unsure which one is more critical at this time, we're definitely flying in the blind without that fresh data. So it will definitely be nice to sort of settle the score a little bit between Fed committee members. Let's get a look at that data and let's actually see which one is in more need, more objectively, I should say, of help, right? So if you have, let's say during this government shutdown, there's been rumors, especially the ADP data that dropped here recently, which suggested a rise in unemployment due to layoffs from corporations. So if that is truly the new norm, if we are starting to see more layoffs, one can imagine that would start to materialize in the government data in terms of the non-farm payroll, et cetera. So this data is super critical to helping the Federal Reserve make the next decision as to what to do with interest rates. And there is this weird aspect too, where you have kind of the K-shaped economy where lots of large corporations are doing quite well, but then there's a lot of areas of the economy that really could use some assistance. Like for example, the jobs market, the housing market is also quite gridlocked here still in the U.S. And the lower end consumer is not doing particularly well. So it's an interesting dynamic, and it is coming at a critical time that we do have this government shutdown come to an end and finally give us a little bit more clarity on what this all could mean and what could happen next with the Federal Reserve. Of course, if the government shutdown comes to a close and we start to see jobs data is as bad or worse than feared, right? If we do get some jobs data that really signals some not just neutrality in the jobs market, like we've seen this low firing, low hiring, we keep hearing that from Jerome Powell and the Fed members. If we see that dip into a low hiring and firing type of environment, now we're talking about rate cuts might be more urgent than we previously had thought. So that's where I think that as you get this data coming back online, you could get some pretty sharp moves in markets as we sober up to this data free, right? There's this weird like, hey, we're just kind of in limbo waiting for the next data point. But now that we actually have the data, it could go one of two ways. You could get sharp increases in expectations for rate cuts, or maybe we're okay to keep waiting. So we are on pause, just like the Federal Reserve, making that next decision based on what we get from the non-farm payroll data, the CPI, the producer price index numbers, retail sales numbers. There's multiple data points that we're going to start to get again.
And Nick, we're seeing a similar scenario on this side of the Atlantic, because yesterday we saw the rate of UK unemployment rise to 5%. Now, that is the highest rate since COVID, way back in 2020, 2021, higher than expected, coming in above the 4.9% projection. So while the unemployment figure is bad news for the government, it has fueled, and just like you were saying in relation to the Fed, it has fueled speculation of a rate cut over here when the Bank of England's Monetary Policy Committee meets on the 18th of December.
It definitely has, and it only makes sense. I mean, they expected, I'm looking at the data report here, they were expecting unemployment rate to go up. From the previous number of 4.8% unemployment rate, they were forecasting for 4.9. So to get the rise, but also the exceeding rise of 5% for the first time in quite some time, as you mentioned, that's definitely got to be, the five handle starts to get people a little bit more worried, right? Four is not great. Five starts to get people to look at it a little closer. And, you know, we also know that, you know, growth in the UK has been really non-existent, not very good for some time now. So at some point, there is likely to be significant increases in demand for rate cuts, basically, because again, at some point, if people are the thing with unemployment rates, especially, is that when it starts to rise, Fed officials, Fed committee members, they or central bank members, in this case, Bank of England, they know very well that there is some momentum that can come there, right? If you have a financial crisis, it's because, you know, unemployment spikes and dramatically, right? All at once, you can get a huge momentum buildup in unemployment rate rising. So they're very well aware. Central banks, that is the last thing that they want, because of course, unemployed people, that causes many, many issues. It causes people, the delinquency rates on people who are borrowing money to go up. It causes the whole system to slow down as people hoard cash in fear of recession. So, you know, we've talked about this on the podcast for years now, Johnny, this concept of high inflation being a real problem for central banks. Well, I'll give you one that's even bigger, and that is deflation. If you were to see global true recession and slowdown, what in a weird way happens is everything reverses course, and it can happen quickly, where you go from prices rising dramatically and to prices falling dramatically. And that sounds on paper like a good thing, right? You're like, hey, prices come down, that's good for everybody, right? Well, it's actually terrible for everybody, because what it does is it completely stalls the whole system. Hiring drops to nothing, layoffs start picking up, people lose jobs. It's not a pretty picture. So I think that this concept of wanting to keep that unemployment rate across central banks at bay has been going through the whole financial system. Over here in the US, in the UK, unemployment rising is a red flag that central banks, I think, will take more heed to if it continues.
Well, despite what you say there, Nick, I'm sure some UK consumers would love a bit of deflation at the moment, because even taking into account that CPI number of 3.8%, anecdotally, prices seem to be rising a lot higher than sort of 3, 4%. Now, going the other way at the moment are oil prices, which is one bit of good news for the global economy. They've fallen as much as 3% today, and it would seem this is down mainly to oversupply in the oil market.
Yeah, and that's been a theme here the last few years. Definitely, by the way, has been for the better when it comes to the global inflation problem. I mean, I can't imagine if we had spiking oil prices, how ugly that could get for certain economies that are already, as you mentioned with the UK, already dealing with inflation. So oil prices remaining muted is definitely a welcomed thing, as long as they are not, going back to our recessionary concept, not crashing, right? But this oversupply concept is, you know, obviously not great for oil producing companies and perhaps countries that their revenue comes from it necessarily. But when it comes to the inflation story for other places, definitely welcomed, right? Oversupply is not nearly as threatening as lack of demand from, economies collapsing. So definitely welcomed in regards to the inflation story. Oil prices making a move down, currently down just under 3% here today for U.S. oil, I'm looking at. So this has been a persistent theme to watch for inflation spikes, as if you're going to get a sharp rise in oil prices that could cause some inflation to ricochet through the system. But currently, oil prices remain muted. Supply being high is, again, decently okay for countries who, or for places experiencing higher levels of inflation. So perhaps that will stay muted for enough time that we can start to see some of these inflation figures come down globally.
Well, Nick, thank you very much for your time today. We'll speak to you again on Friday.
Thanks, Shawna. You too.
Market Insights, the Market Pulse podcast by Oanda.